Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Tuesday. Rambunctious as ever, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now as we embark on another amazing playoff run. Herd hierarchy, perhaps our final one of the year. Top 10 teams ranked tougher and tougher. There's some good teams. There'll be teams in that playoffs that we don't think are top 10 teams. Great to have you enjoy, Taylor. How about the sunset last night in Los Angeles? The whole sky for about 45 minutes was orange and pink. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Amazing.
It was beautiful. It's been really nice the past couple mornings.
It has.
It's nice sunrise, a nice sunset. We're getting a little bit of a heat wave right now.
Yeah.
A little winter heat wave in L.A.
So.
And we got to watch the amazing game while watching that sunset.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. Congrats to the Georgia Bulldogs. They've had the best team in college football more than 1 year, but this time they finally closed the deal. I'll get to that in a bit. So ideally, in sports, you'd like everybody to get along. But we know that Belichick and Brady in 20 years never had dinner. Not once. Pat Riley, Magic, Kareem, Phil Jackson, Jerry West, Kobe, Shaq. Lot of talent, lot of egos. Weren't always tight. Yeah, that whole Phil Jackson, Jerry West, Kobe, Shaq thing, there's a reason it eventually moved in different directions. But they won. And Brady and Belichick won. Steph, Clay, Draymond, KD, best team in the league, 3-4 years. We know now they didn't get along. You watched the documentary with Michael Jordan, Jerry Krause, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen. Best basketball team I've ever seen. I mean, they had some fun playing cards and smoking cigars and winning games, but there was animosity and chaos, and ideally, you'd like to get along. But it's not necessary. The vice president often hates the president in our government. We've had those before. The vice president resents the president. Don't even need to mention names. It's not necessary. It's ideal. So the story is this morning, Brian Flores got fired because he could not get along with Chris Greer. Who cares? He won 8 of 9 with Tua. Who cares if they get along? Well, Brian Flores is very difficult. All right, let me address the very difficult thing. I did a little searching. It's called Google. You should try it. And there's a story back here from a couple of years ago that Brian Flores wanted Justin Herbert over Tua. Bigger, stronger, better arm, more mobile, no injury history. And Chris Greer, wanted Tua. Yeah. Yeah, I got news for you, folks. If I wanted Justin Herbert and you were my GM and drafted Tua and I had to watch Justin Herbert, I'd be bitter too. Folks, Bill Belichick was upset when he had to trade a backup, Jimmy Garoppolo. If I'm Brian Flores, I want Justin Herbert. You draft Tua. You've been the GM for years. You keep screwing up the coach and the roster. All I ask is get me the quarterback. You take the wrong one, and Brian Flores is the guy that's got to get along? I mean, Bill Parcells, one of the great coaches of all time. Never forget this line. And this is why I do think every GM I've ever talked to, and there's 4 or 5 in the league I talk to regularly, they do ask their coach, what do you want? Key spots. Who works? You ask the coach, especially if the coach you think is a star already or an ascending star, in this case, Brian Flores. And remember Bill Parcells' quote years ago.
A friend of mine told me something. Okay, now I'm going to quote, and I'm not trying to be cute here, okay? I'm just going to say it. They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries. Okay?
Brian Flores wasn't even asking to shop for the whole bag. He's just like, get me that milk. I want, get me Herbert. Folks, you get one chance often in life for these NFL jobs. It's not like being an accountant or an actor. There are other roles. There are other accounting firms. Head coaching jobs, 32 in America, best jobs in the world. Sometimes you get one chance. And I want you to think about this. The Chris Greer guy had been around for years. So Brian Flores arrives in Miami. And by the end of year one, he already built the defense up. By the end of year one, we were like, oh my God, their special teams are great. Remember that year? We're like, how are they winning all these games with Ryan Fitzpatrick and this little Tua guy? By the end of the first year, he got the defense right. His side of the ball. That's not always easy. Brandon Staley, Chargers. He's a defensive guy. Chargers defense got worse. I mean, Matt Nagy in Chicago last couple years. Offensive guy. Offense got worse. It's not easy to do. So Brian Flores very early gets the defense right and tight. All he needs is pick the right quarterback and get a good O-line. Fix the O-line. It's a mess when I got here. Make it better. All these years later, they got the wrong quarterback and the O-line stinks. And you guys, I keep hearing this, Brian Flores, very, very hard to get along with. I think I'm a nice guy. If when the decision came down that I got a say in who to hire sitting next to me, Joy Taylor, and, you know, a lot of stuff she doesn't know, but I push for Joy, and she knows it now. But if they'd have given me some stiff, and I'm sitting here every day, and she's just giving me hockey scores, I'd be better. And you wouldn't like me as much. Sometimes animosity is real, and it's okay. Now, I don't think you should ever hold grudges. That's chain-smoking hate. But all I keep hearing about is how difficult Brian Flores is. That's all. He keeps firing this guy and getting rid of that guy. You mean that's what the GM's been doing there for over a decade? So I'm just here to tell you, if Justin Herbert was who you wanted, you fix the defense, you fix the special teams, and you chose Tua over him, and you expect Brian Flores to come in every day with donuts for the staff, Rainbows, birds chirping. He got a chip on his shoulder. It's well earned. All right. Well earned. So I want to talk about this. You know, they say all affairs, all physical affairs, start as emotional affairs. It's very interesting. Dan Graziano, football reporter, good guy. The Broncos, the Denver Broncos, have requested permission to interview Packers quarterback coach Luke Getsy for their head coaching opening. Also, along with Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Very smart. This is, of course, what the Lakers did before they had LeBron. Do you remember the year before LeBron showed up to LA? Do you remember what the Lakers did? Rich Paul is very tight, Clutch Sports, with LeBron. They're guys, they're boys, they're friends. And the year before LeBron got here, the Lakers opened up the cash register. Oh, that's $18 million sitting there. I think we're going to give it to KCP, who was represented by Clutch Sports. They just found it under the mattress. Oh, it was $18 million. Let's give all of it to LeBron's friend Chris Paul. That's what you do. It's the game, right? You see this all the time in college football. You hire this guy, this coach who knows that recruit from this program. We all understand this, right? I mean, Aaron, first of all, would look amazing in a Denver Bronco uniform. I think that goes without saying. The colors match his eyes. It's very perfect. But does everybody understand this? That if Jordan Love could play, and right now I'm not sure he can, I'm leaning on no, they would move him if he was 80% of Aaron. Why? Massive cap flexibility for the Packers. Aaron's dramatic. Sometimes that wears out the front office. And Aaron's older. And the perfect place to send him, if you were Green Bay and you could pick a place to send him, y'all get where it would be. It would be Denver. Not just the other conference, but he'd have to make his way through Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr twice a year. So as great as Aaron is at 38, 39 years old, I got Mahomes twice a year. I got Herbert twice a year. I got Derek Carr twice a year. The chances of him dominating that division, getting a number one seed, playing at Lambeau, or playing at Denver at home, ain't going to happen. I mean, we all know part of Brady's success has been the fact that he got a bye and played at home and only had to win one playoff game to get to the AFC Championship. So this is the perfect place to send Aaron, is Denver. It's the perfect place. You don't want to send Aaron to some lousy division where you send him to the NFC East and he shows up every year humiliating you for the next six. So Aaron's 38. He's expensive. There's drama. He's amazing. If Jordan Love was 80% of him, the smart move. I mean, when Peyton Manning left Indy with Andrew Luck, that was an easy one because Peyton Manning was kind of beat up. He was still great. But they made a decision, the Colts did, and it was the right one at the time, is Andrew Luck right now is probably 75 to 80% of Peyton Manning. Young Andrew Luck is 75, 80% of Peyton Manning. He's cheap. He's healthier. Peyton, people inside the organization had said Peyton was so big, Jim Irsay felt like he was a co-owner of the franchise. And that's not a knock on Peyton Manning. Quarterbacks now are so rich, so powerful, on so many commercials, they take over the franchise. And owners, frankly, even Green Bay's front office, it wears them out. So it's just very interesting what Denver's doing. This is really smart. This is what the Lakers did before LeBron. Just found $18 million under a mattress and decided to give all of it to KCP. Just, you know, take care of peeps. Let them know how you feel about them. And there's a lot of messages sent out there in sports. This is a really smart one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Well, congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. They've always, I mean, the last 25 years, they've had one of the most talented rosters in probably half those years, and they just kind of shrink in big spots, or they don't get a break, or they get a key injury or a bad turnover, and last night they won it. It's not a shock they won it. I thought Bama would win because I get Bryce Young and Nick Saban, but once their second star receiver went down in 3 weeks, they were in trouble. So Georgia absolutely earned it. If you look at the box score, Bama had more first downs. Bama was better on third down. Bama had more total yards. Bama had fewer penalties. Bama won time of possession, but they couldn't capitalize in the red zone. They lost one of their big playmakers. That's their second in 3 weeks at wide receiver. And good luck beating Georgia without all your playmakers. So attrition and injuries are part of it, and Georgia earned it. It's you can beat teams a second time, but this came down to the protege, the disciple of Nick Saban, Kirby Smart winning, and it's good for Georgia. We've seen LSU, Bama, Georgia. It's not always Nick Saban winning the championship. It's a great program. It's always been. It's one of my favorite southern towns, Athens, Georgia. I'm very happy for him. But the last seven national titles are Georgia, Bama, LSU, Clemson, Bama, Clemson, Bama. Clemson, count them as southern. They are all SEC. And Clemson. And in most cases, 6 of 7 years, the SEC was facing somebody from the South. They own this game. In fact, Bama has either won the national championship or lost to the eventual winner in Nick Saban's 14 of 15 years. Is the sport right now too regional? Absolutely. And what can be done about it? Nothing. There's nothing the NFL could do about Brady and Belichick. You had the smartest coach and the most driven quarterback. What could women's tennis do about Serena? Nothing. She was better and more driven and more focused and more powerful. Golf courses tried to Tiger-proof them. That was adorable, wasn't it? He still beat Phil Mickelson. Governments try to do this all the time. Legislate parity. We will tax the rich. New York and California and Illinois have never taxed the rich more. They've never taxed the citizens more. And the financial inequality is 5 times greater than it was a decade ago. Governments are trying it. Sports are trying it. You can't legislate parity. Some people want it more. I heard a saying years ago, don't take no for an answer. And you know what'll happen? You'll rarely get no for an answer. Work hard, stay focused. You can keep trying to legislate parity in all of our lives. And your liberals are all mad at me for what I just said, but California taxes us like they're taking money from here and putting it there and putting it there. Silicon Valley is going to make more money tomorrow than I'm going to make in a lifetime. A thousand lifetimes. They won the battle for intellectualism up in Silicon Valley, and they're pulling away from all of us. Tax them all you want. Folks, the reality is there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you could do about Brady and Belichick until they moved apart. And now Belichick doesn't look as smart. Now Serena's older and it's more competitive. And Tiger had his personal picadillos and now it's more competitive. But there are these moments, these runs, where stars and teams and municipalities, they pull away. And that's just the way it is. And the only thing you can do about it is enjoy the journey more than the destination. College football's great. The bands, the cheerleaders, the student section, the regular season's great. The conference championship are great. Most of the bowls are great. I watched the Rose Bowl. That was as much fun as I've had watching college football all year. Utah and Ohio State, and none of them were playing for the national championship. That was the best bowl game I saw. That was the best bowl game I saw in years. I had a blast watching it. Had a couple beers, sat there with my dogs. Felt like a country song. And I had a great time. But you're not going to win the national championship unless you're from the SEC. I mean, the last three, they have so much talent down in the South. High school footprint, so much talent. The last three champs are Bama, Georgia, and LSU. If you don't win it, I win it. If he doesn't win it, our neighbor wins it. That's the way it works. And it's going to be that way for a long time. Until Nick Saban retires, and maybe Mario Cristobal gets Miami rolling, and Lincoln Riley gets USC rolling, and they can puncture it. Ohio State did win, like, what, 8 years ago. We're always trying to, you know, I'm one of these people, we're always trying to legislate parity in our towns, in our states, in our sports. Serena Williams is better, period. Tiger Woods was better. Look at the NFL right now. NFL has pulled away from every other league. Why? Because baseball's too slow to adapt and analytics makes it more boring. The NBA's analytics, all it does is shoot threes. Too many stars moving around. That turns off some fans. College football is incredibly regional, so the NFL now is a monster. You cannot be relevant as a sports network without the NFL. Wasn't like this 30, 40, 50 years ago. It is now, and it's gotten greater and bigger and more popular every year. And I always fall on this. I think the Powerball is kind of gross. You know, like the Powerball gets up to $200 million. Think about the Powerball. You could be a horrible human. You could do terrible things to your family. You could do terrible things in your town. You could be selfish and mean. You could be a criminal. And you go to a 7-Eleven, buy a ticket, and you're the richest person in the state. Ugh. That's not the society I want to live in. I want to work and live in a society where the people who care the most win. And they work the hardest win. And they compensate their coaches and their players the best win. That's the society I like. You created an ethos, passion, driven, willful. Not, hey, I just got 9 numbers in a row. In the end, the SEC wants it more, so they win it more. It can be a little boring. I'm not going to lie to you. Last night, it felt like another Saturday night watching the great SEC football game. But I watched Bama and Bama and Georgia play last night. And the difference between those two and the third team. I mean, if you take Georgia and Bama's defense and even compare it to Ohio State's defense or Oklahoma's defense, and those are amazing programs. It's like a different sport. Recruit better. Oklahoma's joining the SEC. Recruit better. Or you're going to see more of what you saw last night.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
The New England Patriots. Listen, they give you 18 points a game. Their defense and their coaching keeps you in every game. But Mac Jones, over his last 5 starts, is 2-3. He's completing about 60% of his throws. Nothing downfield with a 79 passer rating. You have seen the ceiling. Now, I think he can get better, but this is what he is. And they don't draft wide receiving talent particularly well. They need teams to make mistakes. In the games in which they have multiple takeaways, they win almost all of them. If they don't, they don't have the dynamic offense to overcome it. So it's real simple. If they can force the Bills into 2 turnovers, they got a shot to win. If Buffalo doesn't turn over, there's a chance they blow out New England. Patriots 10.
Number 9.
Bengals, a big play offense. I think it's one of the weaker, if not the weakest, roster in the NFL playoffs. Doesn't mean they can't win a home game against the Raiders. Again, they are 10-2 when they don't give the ball away. The truth is, though, they give the ball away a lot because it's a big play offense and they throw it down the field. They have 21 big play touchdowns this year. Nobody in the league has more than 17. So they had the Green Bay Packers beat. They beat up on some really good teams this year, but they tend to make mistakes because it's a bad offensive line, and Joe Burrow is never going to dump it low. He's going to go over the top. It's a lot of Justin Herbert. You're going to throw a few more picks, but I got him at 9.
Number 8.
Cowboys. Listen, they dominate their division, then they're 6-5 against everybody else. I do like this, though. I think, and this has been my constant sort of chorus on the Cowboys all year, they lead the NFL in picks and takeaways. They got playmakers on both sides. And you've got a fighter's chance to win any game. Any game. At Lambeau, at Arrowhead, if you have corners that can score touchdowns, and Micah Parsons. So they've drafted well. They've got playmakers. But I do think quarterback play and coaching matters a lot in situational playoff football. And I think they're kind of closer to B to B plus there. So I have Dallas at number 8.
Number 7.
Rams at 7. It's a very good football team. Make too many mistakes sometimes early in the game with Matt Stafford, but Cam Akers returning is a big deal. Again, like Dallas, playmakers. Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, now Cam Akers. So I think they got a better coach than Dallas and a better quarterback than Dallas. So that's why I put them one spot ahead. I think they're very much like Dallas, that they've got playmakers on both sides. A little concerned. Dak doesn't throw the picks like Matt Stafford. They tend to be high ceiling, low floor for halves.
Number 6.
Niners. How do I not put the Niners ahead of them? They've won their last 6 straight. Jimmy G 6-0 against the Rams. I have to put them ahead of them. And they've in the last 4 games, 3 times they've rushed for 150 plus yards. And what's that mean? Well, the Niners have not lost a game this year when Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw a pick. And Jimmy doesn't throw a pick if you can throw him 32 times a game on play action when the running game is rolling. And right now they're healthy and it's rolling. This is a team I would want no part of. And you know I put them ahead of Dallas, so I think they're going to beat Dallas first round of the playoffs.
Number 5.
Buffalo, number 1 scoring defense. It's an aggressive team on offense. It's an aggressive team on defense. I've compared it to Mike Tyson. Didn't have the best jab. Didn't always protect himself. You better be prepared because they are aggressive on both sides of the ball. I love Josh Allen. Yep, he makes too many mistakes. He's got 15 picks. Only Trevor Lawrence and Matt Stafford have more. But I think this is the kind of team that they're hard to predict. I mean, they lost to the Jags. They struggle with the Jets. Why? There's so much they do off script offensively. So much is Josh Allen just making stuff go. That's why they can beat anybody and lose to anybody.
Number 4.
The Titans. 6-2 against playoff teams and 6-3 without Derrick Henry. And here's the key, though. Since Derrick Henry has been gone, Ryan Tannehill struggled initially, but he's got his feet under him in his last 3 games. So Tannehill in his last 3 games, 73% completion percentage, 7 TDs, no picks. So listen, he's not a quarterback that's going to carry you. He needs a guy. But at least now the ship is steady. When Derrick Henry comes back, This team is built to beat every team in the league. Not saying they will, but they will own the clock, play tough defense. They get a pass rush, bring in only four. They can disrupt your offense. Go ask the Rams. Love the Titans.
Number three.
Kansas City. They've won 9 of 10. They have the best third down offense in the league. I still think their offense feels a little uneven, but their scoring defense since week 6 is outstanding. Only gives up 17 a game. They should be favorites or co-favorites. They got playmakers. They got a great coach. They have a great quarterback. And even though I feel their offense is uneven, it is so lightning strike. It's so capable of still dropping 21 points in 3 drives that I think you have to put them in the top 3 in this league.
Number 2.
Tampa. I think they have a more consistent pass rush. It's also impossible to run on them, so you're forced to pass, and Brady's having another remarkable year. They also have a stat here that I pay attention to called sack differential. I'm sure many of you do, meaning they lead the NFL in sack differential, meaning Tom is usually comfortable and your quarterback's usually uncomfortable. That is a big deal to me. If you can go into an NFL game, win the turnover battle, and have the more comfortable quarterback, you win almost every Sunday.
Number 1.
Green Bay, 8-0 at home. They get a bye, home field advantage. There's nothing I look at this team and say, what's their hole? Little concerned, yards per play, run defense. You can run the football on them. They have had trouble putting average teams away. They had trouble putting Cleveland away at Lambeau with 4 picks. They had problems putting Chicago away at Lambeau. So I like them a lot. There's not a lot to not like, but I do think sometimes they don't quite have the knockout punch that a Tampa does, a Buffalo does, the Rams do, Kansas City does. They're just good and consistent and smart and well-coached and beautifully quarterbacked.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We have 6 playoff games this weekend. And, you know, the way it works usually with betting, fans like favorites. Fans overwhelmingly bet the big brands, the great quarterbacks, and the favorites. And they win a lot of games. But if you go back to 2017, 4 years ago in the first round of the playoffs, a bunch of close games. All right, let's go 2018. A bunch of close games. 2019, first round, bunch of close games, 2 overtime games. Last year, bunch of close games except the Saints and the Bears. Even the Steelers-Browns was ugly early and got close late. So if you're thinking all the favorites are going to win and all the Bradys and Aaron Rodgers and all the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are going to cruise, it's not going to work that way. That's not the way it works. We're going to have a lot of close games. So I thought this morning I would do my upset tier. So there's 6 total games. I'll give you at the bottom the 3, in my opinion, least likely upsets. Above them, the 2 more likely upsets. And then I'll call my upset. I do believe I see 1 I'll call. So let's go to the 3 less likely upsets, but they're possible, and here's why. Raiders are almost a touchdown underdog to Cincinnati. Here's why the Raiders have a chance. They're 6-0 in games this year, 4-0 in overtime, 6-0 in games decided on the final play of regulation or overtime, meaning this thing's close late. They have a ton of confidence and a ton of success and a playmaking quarterback. Bengals have not won a playoff game since 1990. This is new territory for Cincinnati. And the Raiders are playing as a dog with total house money. I like the Bengals to win. That's why an upset could happen. Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Kansas City turned the ball over 25 times this year. That's tied for most among all playoff teams. The Chiefs will give you opportunities. The Steelers, for the 4th straight year, led the NFL in sacks. Translation, they put pressure on quarterbacks that make more mistakes. Mike Tomlin's also the best underdog coach to bet on in the league, and the Steelers are 12.5-point dogs. You really think Ben's last game, his last game at home, he won. He won this past weekend. It's not always pretty. There's no way I can give the Pittsburgh Steelers 12.5 points, even though I think they'll probably lose. But that's their chance. KC turns it over, can be reckless, and Pittsburgh forces turnovers because they have a great pass rush. All right, Tampa and Philadelphia. You may not know this, but the Philadelphia Eagles led the NFL with 128 big plays this year. Now, what's a big play? A run for over 10 yards, a pass for over 20. Yeah, their big plays, though, come on the ground. So this is a Tampa team that is all beat up, including Leonard Fournette. A lot of injuries, no AB, no Chris Godwin, perhaps not as explosive offensively in the playoffs. They struggled last year with Washington in the playoffs. So in this instance, I like the favorites, but they have a puncher's chance, and that's why. Now let's go to more likely upsets. Let's go Cardinals-Rams. Well, first of all, it's in L.A., and the Cardinals this year were 8-1 on the road. For whatever reason, and I do not have the answer, Arizona is a better road team than a home team. Also, the Cardinals only turned it over 15 times. So Matt Stafford had 17 picks. That's the most among playoff quarterbacks. The Rams give you opportunities in short fields. Cardinals don't. So the Rams are going to have to win this thing straight out against a great road team that never gives you a short field or cheap points. And the Rams, as we've seen, they can give you a great half followed by a disaster. They are high ceiling, low floor. I like the Rams. Totally see an upset potential. The next one is New England and Buffalo. Well, this is a pretty easy one to figure out. Josh Allen is 3-4 in 7 games against Belichick. And Josh Allen has the second lowest completion percentage of the playoff quarterbacks. And he, like Matt Stafford, big arm, wildly talented, makes big mistakes. He is a high risk. When you have an arm that good, Joe Namath had a big arm, he threw picks. Elway had a big arm, he threw picks. Favre had a big arm, he throws picks. Josh Allen trusts his arm and trusts his talent. He makes mistakes. And New England, say what you want, they feast on that stuff. So they're going to go in with a conservative game plan, try to win the takeaway battle. I like Buffalo. I like the Rams, but I'm not shocked if there's an upset. The one upset I do see, and it's become so talked about, maybe it won't be, but San Francisco-Dallas is a problem for Dallas. First of all, if Jimmy G doesn't throw an interception, they're 7-0. Now, Dallas does take the ball away. And Jimmy G can get sloppy. He throws the ball over the middle of the field a lot. But when I look at this game, there's a stat that has always mattered in the NFL. Yards per play. And the San Francisco 49ers led the NFL. They got it. They stole this stat in the final weekend. They lead the NFL in yards per play. 6.1 yards. That is a big play offense that is mostly healthy. Also, Dak has been great against the NFC East. He has been not so great against everybody else. 6-5 this year. Also, Dallas has not been necessarily a great home team. They were blown out by Denver at home. They lost to Arizona at home. Some of their best performances this year, like Arizona, were away from home. So the pressure's on the big brand Cowboys, the pressure's on the favored Cowboys, and they don't have a history in the last 3 or 4 years of necessarily putting away teams outside of their division. So I think San Francisco has a coach edge, and Jimmy G have been here before edge. Jimmy G again, they also have a Trey Lance factor. They could use him if need be in the red zone for something different. So there's my upset tiers. Least likely, more than likely, highly likely. How about them Cowboys?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Joel Klatt is the voice of college football, our lead college football analyst. 44 school records as the Buffalo starting quarterback. Boy, Denver Broncos could use one. Have you considered that?
I have not, no. But they could use a quarterback.
They could.
Okay, should go get Rodgers.
Yeah, he's pretty good, I've been told. Okay. So I'm going to throw this out there. Okay. The Mr. Ruffle Up Feathers. Okay, I'm going to say this because I believe this. If Jameson Williams does not get hurt, because after John Metchie got hurt, the star receiver, you can't lose two star receivers. You can't lose Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp.
That's true.
You can't lose Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. It's not the same team. If Jameson Williams for Alabama doesn't get hurt, I think Alabama wins.
You know, it was trending in that direction because Alabama was, they weren't controlling the game, but they were executing at a level which was going to allow them to win the game when he was still available.
Off to a good start.
I think he had 4 catches, 64, if I'm not mistaken, and it's still early in the game when he gets hurt. And it was pretty clear Georgia didn't have an answer anymore. He was well on his way to 150 yards, 175 yards That's receiving, right. maybe even 200 yards receiving.
Which we saw in the first game, they were beating Georgia over the top.
That's exactly right. So to me, this is you have to go in order, okay? So Georgia's got the better team overall, Colin, but they don't have the best quarterback. So they're going to win the line of scrimmage. They've got more margin for error because they've got speed, they've got power, they've got a great roster. There's no doubt about that. So what Alabama was going to have to do was exactly what they needed to do and did in the SEC championship game, which was execute in the passing game. Allow Bryce Young to execute in the passing game. Protect him enough to get wide receivers open so that they can make plays in the back end. And when Williams left the game, they didn't have that because the young wide receivers failed miserably in their execution. They were not helping Bryce Young out at all, and Georgia took advantage of that.
Yeah.
So at that point, if you're just going down the list, what did Alabama need to do to win? Well, they didn't have the best rosters. They got to execute in the passing game. Now they lose their best player. So what do you have to do? You've got to get really creative in your play calling and in your play design in order to get guys like Slade Bolden and Brian Robinson the ball in places where they can produce because they're now your most reliant players. That didn't happen. Bill O'Brien last night really struggled as an offensive play caller for Alabama.
Well, in the red zone, they're not very creative.
No, and that's been a problem for them all year.
It has.
In fact, it's the reason why they lost at A&M.
Yeah.
Was because all things being considered equal, they failed on two different series inside the five-yard line.
That's right.
In both scenarios where they were failing last night inside the 10 and in the scoring area and in that A&M game, they were getting man coverage against them. And he never started moving the formation, using motion, using jet motion to create leverage. Never used mesh plays and pick plays in order to get people open. The one touchdown they did get, Latu, the tight end, just had to shove the Georgia defender down. He just two-hand shoves him down. In the Pac-12, there would have been 17 flags land on him, but in that game, they were letting him play. But, Colin, it was a massive failure from a play-calling perspective for Bill O'Brien. If I'm an Alabama fan, I'm hoping that he gets an NFL opportunity because the two offenses that we saw – last year, the one that won the national championship, and this year, the one that fails, and that they're not even close. Now, granted, the personnel is different, and I will give you that. There's no doubt about that. The creativity of the play calling and the movement of the formation in order to get the playmakers the ball in space was vastly different between Steve Sarkisian and Bill O'Brien.
No question.
Last night, Bill O'Brien was using an antiquated, old-school, static type of offense that was not going to work against Georgia. And I was frustrated for Crimson Tide fans when he was just giving token runs. It's like, well, that's a throwaway play. If you're not going to use misdirection on your run game, if you're not going to use other elements of trying to mess with the eye discipline and the visuals of what the defense is looking at, and you're just going to hand the ball off to say that you did on first down into the middle of the defensive line.
They did that a lot.
And so, you know, I thought Bill O'Brien really struggled last night. And Bryce Young was trying to overcome all of that. The injuries, the poor play calling, the poor play design, and he couldn't do it.
By the way, I love Bryce Young. That kid, that from the minute you can tell, you know, I looked this up. It's not like I, you know, did investigative work, but his dad has like a master's in something. And it's like, you can just tell that family functions at a high level.
Oh, my gosh. How calm he was last night.
Any quarterback that doesn't think as fast as Bryce Young has 6 picks. I mean, they were on him. Like, and by the way, I'll say this about Georgia's defense. That is the best closing speed of a front seven I've seen, and that includes every Saban defense. They banged on Bryce Young, and he dirted it, threw it away, moved. That kid's ability to make a decision. Russell Wilson has some of that. You'll see this with like the Aaron Rodgers.
It's the ability to process information
instantly,
quickly and then sit and still execute. I mean, he was still throwing the ball really, really well. Now I want to give Georgia a lot of credit here. Let's talk about that Georgia defense.
Oh, Lordy.
The old adage is, from a coaching perspective, is that you've got to run away from power and at speed.
Yes.
Okay, offensively, this is what you're trying to do, whether it's in the passing game or in the running game. Here's the problem. Georgia is both more powerful than you and faster
way
than you
faster.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And so that's why it became very apparent that it was going to have to be all on Bryce Young's shoulders, and they were going to have to attack the middle and the seams of the defense, and they weren't able to do it. That defense for Georgia was fantastic. It was fun to watch because they played hard snap.
Joy said this, just trust your eyes. The hits, the violence and the hits by Georgia. I mean, like knocking Alabama guys.
That's right.
230-pound running backs, bang, backwards. It was like, whoa, okay. Oh, Oklahoma doesn't hit like that. Ohio State doesn't hit like that. People aren't hitting like that in the rest of college football.
Joy, you're exactly right. And when you trust your eyes, you also just look at the line of scrimmage. Which team is owning the line of scrimmage?
Yep.
And Georgia owned the line of scrimmage. So it wasn't just the closing speed. It was also the power. And that combination is very difficult to beat.
Well, let me throw this out there. Now, I'm pretty perceptive. The ability to see, it's almost X-ray eyes. I can see.
X-ray eyes.
I can see around corners.
You can, okay. Well, then that wouldn't be X-ray. That would be like a telescope or whatever it is.
Saban was unusually content, the big smile after the game. And as if to say, kid, I'm handing you the baton. I'm not long here, and if anybody's got to own this conference, you're my best friend in the conference.
I see. I viewed it totally different.
Okay.
I thought the same thing about his overall demeanor after the game, even in the press conferences afterwards.
Oh, it was wonderful.
When he sat down, if you haven't seen it yet, Bryce Young and Will Anderson are both with him, and then they excuse those two players. And before he does, he says, hold on, sit down for a second. And he says, this game will not define these two young men.
Yeah, it was
it was a wonderful answer.
Oh, he seems really content. He was like almost
I don't think it was an acknowledgement of his relationship with Kirby as much as it was an acknowledgement that he knew exactly and knows exactly how much it's taken from a recruiting perspective to get a roster that can beat a team of his that is not nearly what it has been over the last few years. This is a young Alabama team, a very young Alabama team. Folks, they are miles. I don't want to exaggerate. 1 mile, not miles. 1 mile ahead of everybody else in college football going into next year.
Yeah.
They've got the best offensive player, the best defensive player on their team. This was always a young team. They needed a transfer. They got it from Jameson Williams, and that kind of solidified the passing game for the young Bryce Young. They've recruited incredibly well. He knows that he's not going anywhere, whereas Georgia, this was their year. If they weren't beating this Alabama team with the roster that they have.
Same thing with Edo and LSU.
That's a great point.
That was the year.
They had to do it.
Yeah, they had like 9 good NFL players. Sometimes you get Alabama does it every year. There was a Clemson team like that. I think the second one was it Trevor Lawrence? You felt like, well, he's leaving.
Well, no, it was, remember, I believe, my history may be incorrect here. I believe Clemson played Alabama twice in a row for the national championship, both with Deshaun Watson. They lost the first one where Bama had to kick the onside kick, and then they won the second one. And that one, it was like, hey, you better beat them now because Deshaun's an older player.
Yes.
They were able to then beat them a second time in a championship game with Trevor Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence's freshman year. But
right.
I get what you're saying.
All right, let's pivot off that. Some probing questions now.
Okay.
Are you ready for these?
I would love,
don't
yes.
Don't duck I'm any very, stuff.
Okay.
You go to a lot of these cream puff shows and it's layups. It's not here.
Hard J. No. Big J journalism.
That's right. A couple of journalists. You got Mike Wallace.
Well, Joy
and Chris
is definitely a journalist. Verdict's still out on you, but fire away.
Okay. Jim Harbaugh, if he's got Michigan in a terrible spot, you're out of the hiring cycle. If Harbaugh is bitter about that whole contract cut and he says, I'm gone, you give it to Josh Gattis and cross your fingers. The coordinators, the best ones are all gone. Position coaches, best one. Michigan's in a tough spot here, and I think Harbaugh's 50-50.
I don't know about his status. You've asked about a couple of different things there.
Right, unpack it.
I don't know whether he'll go or not. I'm 50-50 on that as well. I've tried to talk with people in the know. I don't know if he's going to go or not. If he does, I don't believe it will be because of the contract situation. I don't think he harbors ill will about the contract situation.
All right, so you don't think?
I do not think that at all.
Okay.
If he leaves, I think it would be because college football has changed drastically.
Well, and very quickly.
In the last 2-3 years. Now with NIL and the one-time transfer, Not that these coaches are, you know, woe is them or anything. They've got great jobs, but it's just different. It's hard to manage rosters. It's hard to recruit your own players constantly. Now you've got to recruit the transfer portal. Now you've got to have a kid sit in your living room and be like, hey, can I get a State Farm deal? And you're like, ah. You know, it's like Matt LaFleur doesn't have to do that. Everyone's right. Like, well, the NFL, they have all these same things. No, they don't. The coach isn't being asked, can you get me a watch deal and a shoe deal and a car dealership?
Yeah.
It is different, and I think if he leaves, I think it would be more because of the changing structure of college football than the contract situation. Whether he leaves or not is interesting. And then you bring up, what would they do if he does? This is what I think is so difficult for them, is that they would be stuck. The name that I would look at would be like a Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Is he looking to try to get out of Iowa State before the Big 12 changes, or you go with one of the coordinators? That staff did a remarkable job.
If I'm Matt Campbell, who knows what the Big 12 is in 2 years? I would move to Michigan in 1 second.
Potentially.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that they are so happy with their staff at Michigan. So it might be a guy like Josh Gattis.
All right,
Gattis,
so I'm going to throw this out there again.
Please do. Come on.
Very controversial.
Spaghetti
I'm not
at the
afraid
wall.
Of
Let's
that.
Rock.
So LSU's got a new coach, and USC's got a new coach, and Oklahoma's got a new coach, and, you know, there's all these new coaches. Notre Dame's got a new coach. And I know Sooner fans think I don't like him. It's a bunch of nonsense. When Lincoln Riley was at Oklahoma, I put him on twice a year. I've been watching Oklahoma since I was a kid. But I'm watching this transfer portal, and they're going to lose their star quarterback, their star receiver, a star corner. They're losing some people. Secondly, you're going to not only the best conference, but at best, you're now number three behind Georgia and Bama, and LSU's going to have better people your first couple years in the conference. I'm just saying, this transfer portal thing,
it's changed the
right,
game.
You know, it feels like Oklahoma, and I'm not sure why. Am I wrong on this?
Well, I think that there's two different things that you're talking about, because I think that the portal impacts them quicker than the SEC move does. The SEC move is still down the road a little bit.
It just feels like they're losing a lot of stuff for a great program, or am I overvaluing?
I don't think that you're overvaluing that. In fact, I put out a way too early top 10 already for next year. They're not in it. And the reason Wake Forest is, Arkansas is, OU is not. And the reason is because I don't know how this is going to go. They've lost a lot in the transfer portal. Really good players.
Yes.
They're going to have a transfer quarterback come in under a brand new offensive coordinator. I know that Dylan Gabriel and Jeff Lebby are both individually very good. How does that mesh? Who's blocking in front of them? This has been a team that has relied on great running game for now the better part of 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know if that run game is going to be even close to what it has been. The defense has struggled over the last few years. We've known that. That's why Alex Grinch came in and tried to improve them. Now he goes with Lincoln Riley to USC. They're going from an offensive-oriented head coach to a defensive-oriented head coach. I just think there is a lot of unknowns with Oklahoma. I have no idea if this is going to work next season. I hope it works for them. I still believe that they are Oklahoma, and this is still a program.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Lot going on there.
Feels like to me, USC is moving very quickly in key spots.
Well, so Jackson Dart enters the transfer portal, okay? And I'm sure you've talked about it a little bit. There is zero reason for a quarterback to transfer away from Lincoln Riley other than he lost his job.
Yes.
Because the track record for Lincoln Riley with quarterbacks is too good.
There's nobody else out there doing what he's doing.
At this point, it's unmatched when Jalen Hurts is going to the playoffs with the Philadelphia Eagles and Kyler Murray is doing what he's doing with the Cardinals. And my favorite, Baker Mayfield, has totally transformed the Browns organization, even though he gets no credit whatsoever on
a
show like this.
What's going on here?
I mean, I'm just saying that the Browns were a total disaster, and now they're actually a playoff feasible team, whether they're doing that or not. But I digress. The track record for Lincoln Riley is exquisite in the modern college football for developing players to go to the National Football League. Caleb Williams has said specifically he's looking for the place that's going to set himself up best for his next career in the National Football League. If Caleb Williams is legitimately looking at that and not just an NIL deal, he will end up at USC.
Well, I had a little extra time, but you dropped that Baker thing and the advertisers say, let's get him off the air. It's just the way it works. All right, Klatt, that was pretty good stuff. Congrats.
What a year.
What a year. Spectacular.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.